Matthew chapter 14. Now you help yourself this morning. Now let me remind you, we come into church, we come to worship. And you're free. Anything that's you're bound with, you bind yourself or allow the enemy to bind you, but we don't bind you. If you want to testify, you're welcome. You want to shout, you're welcome. We come to rejoice and worship the Lord and to hear from the Lord. And we have no problem preaching, but understand this. It's not about me this morning. It's about the Lord. It's about Him. He's the main character. Brother Rick, I like how he said it this morning. The Bible shows us the Lord. He don't show us us. He shows us the Lord. Now, we'll find ourselves when we see how holy He is. We see ourselves because we're unholy. But it tells us about the Lord. And church is about the Lord. It's about our relationship and the privilege. Man, it's a privilege to come to church. It's a privilege. You wait sometime when you ain't able to go. You ask some of the ones that shut in, been sick, when you ain't able to go. Huh? And when you get to come, boy, it's a whole different feeling. I tell you, it's a blessing. And a lot of times we take things for granted. We take it all for granted. We take groceries for granted. You know, I don't know, has anybody here ever been hungry? I mean hungry. Now, not you missed a meal. Not that you're late for supper. Not that you didn't get to eat your supper. I mean, have you ever been hungry that your belly swelled out? Have you ever been hungry that you hadn't ate for a week and your belly's all swelled out and you're bloated but there's nothing there? We've never been hungry. But we don't think about that. We think we're hungry because we didn't get supper. So we didn't get breakfast. Man, I ain't had nothing. It's been 2 hours. I ain't ate a bite. Wow. Huh? We take it for granted, don't we? Take it for granted. Oh, the Lord is good this morning. He is good. All right. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you're wonderful to me. Every day as you give me strength and abilities, and Lord, I thank you. Thank you for raising me up. Thank you for touching my life, touching my body, touching my mind. Thank you for saving my soul. Lord, you're wonderful, but thank you for what you've done this morning. Lord, you filled me this morning and you've taught me this morning. Thank you for what you've done yesterday. Lord, the strength you gave me yesterday and the food I eat. And Lord, I growled about clothes this morning. Father, I'm sorry that I take everything you give and I'm not thankful. Lord, I thank you for the clothes on my back and the shoes on my feet and the food you give me this morning. Lord, for the coffee. Father, I thank you for everything, the vehicle to drive and the privilege to pick up grandkids and Lord, just to come to your house. You're so good. Thank you, thank you, thank you for it all. And I'm so undeserving and you give me everything. I praise you this morning for your greatness. Oh, how great you are this morning. Please, oh God, cleanse me from my filth, from the things that displeases you. Help me to walk as I need to walk this morning. Lord, preach me only as you see fit. Not how I want to be preached, but how you want me to preach today. Speak to every heart, please, oh God. Draw every sinner to repentance and every Christian to a closer walk. And we'll thank you and praise you. Please give me power, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. The grace of God cannot be explained. I can't explain. There's no way that I could explain the grace of God. I can tell you what the word means, and it's the God's righteousness at Christ's expense. I can tell you it's just anything that you don't deserve, but I can't explain to you the grace of God. You got to experience it. You got to just enjoy it. And everybody in here enjoys the grace of God. Whether you acknowledge it or not, you enjoy it. You know, there's no way that I can even tell you what all it does. The part it does for us. I can't tell you. I don't have the ability to tell you. The mercy of God. I can't, it's the probably one of the most the greatest thing that we don't understand, huh? With that, I don't know what the how else you would say it. It's the great, huh?
The most unexplained.
Well, I can't understand. Not only I can't explain the grace of God, but I can't understand the mercy of God.
Yeah.
Can you understand the mercy of God? Do you understand why He killed you off? Huh? Does anybody here understand why? Why He ain't killed you off? I mean, we're rebellious, hateful, mean, ungrateful, unthankful, unholy, and He ain't killed us off yet. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't understand the why that He showed me mercy. Now, He's not just showed me mercy and saving my life because I'm doulas, but He showed me mercy this morning. I don't know these people, probably had I not been a Christian, had a gun, I'd have shot somebody this morning. They just pull out in front of you, stop in the middle of 19, you're going down the road, and they just bow up and stop because they're not supposed to be there. They're coming out of an intersection, and there's three and four people in the median, and they just go ahead and stay in the fast lane, just go around me. I'm here, you know. People are crazy. People are crazy. He showed me mercy. I could have wrecked. He showed them mercy. I could have killed them. Just the mercies of God. I just don't understand it. It's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't understand why He shows me favor. Do you understand why He shows you favor? I mean, really, if we all write it down, what have we done for Him? I mean, we've done nothing. We've done nothing. We've done nothing to benefit Him. If anything, we've run His name down. If anything, we've lived to where people say, "I don't want that God." You know, if anything, but He said, "I think I'll just show you mercy. I'll just keep back what you deserve, and I'll keep giving you what you don't." I mean, I just don't understand. How deep is the Father's love, Trista? How deep is it? Can anybody measure it? We sung, was it last Sunday? We sung the love of God, or Sunday before last? We sung the love of God. Huh? We can't measure it. When you sung it the other day, how do you measure it? If every man was a scribe and the ocean was the ink and every stalk of quill to write the love of God, you can't do it. You can't explain. Hey, you just can't beat Him. That's why. Can I tell you any better than that? You can't beat the Lord. You can't beat the Lord. And we're all the time looking for something better. Do you know when we don't give everything we got to the Lord, that means we're looking for something better. Sometimes the Lord, He's good enough till something else better comes along. Yeah, that's how a lot of people are married, you know. They're married till something else comes along. Huh? Or they shock up and they're like it till something better comes along. I mean that's the way it is. That's what it is. Alright? And we'll take the Lord the same way. Well, till something better comes along. We hunt all through. We'll hunt everything in the world to see if there's anything any better. Do we not? And ain't nothing no better. There ain't nothing no better than the Lord. I just can't explain it. I can't explain salvation. But yet, they sing when we have a baptizing, they say, "He thought I was worth saving."
Yes.
Well, let's just be honest. Do you really think you're worth saving? Well, let me ask you this. Would you save you? Huh? Would you save yourself? If you knew you and you wanted, and you were somebody else, let's say this. If I was you, would you save me? Now, everything that you think, everything that you've done, that's me. Am I worth saving? How about you giving your kid for me? Huh? Hey, you got one son. Would you give your one son for me? Huh? I'm a nice guy. Huh? I smile, laugh, huh? Cut up, give you anything I got. Right? But I ain't worth, huh? Ain't nobody in here worth my boys. Huh? I wouldn't even let you borrow one of my boys, let alone give them to you, die for you. You know what I mean? We just ain't worth it. But yet he does. What I want you to understand, that's how great he is. In his grace, in his mercy, in his love, in his salvation, there's no one greater than the Lord, and yet people refuse him, people reject him, people won't live for him, people are bought by him, saves their soul, gives them eternal life, and then they forget him. You know? And he just keeps on chunking blessings. You know? You ever been throwed a blessing? Huh? We sat at the table here the other day eating. The fellas eating with me. He said, throw me a roll. I throwed him one. He said, little bit. He said, throw me another. I throwed him a little bit later. He said, throw me another one. Huh? And I thought, boy, is that not the way the Lord is?
Yeah.
Boy, he throws me one. And I enjoy it. And then I said, can I have another? He throws me another one. He throws me another. And then he throws me another. He just chunking them at me every day, all day long. I want you to know this morning that you can't beat the Lord Jesus this morning. If you know him, you ought to enjoy him. And if you don't know him, you ought to come and let us introduce you to him. But they nothing and nobody any better than the Lord. Think about that. If I can this morning, I just want to preach to you just for a minute on wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Can I do that? That'd be all right. I can't explain none of it. I can't understand none of it, but I believe it all. I believe it all, and I believe he did it all for me. Huh? I believe he done it all for you. And I just want to preach a little bit this morning about wonderful Jesus. Let's go down Matthew chapter 14. Let's pick up about verse 22. He's done fed the 5,000. He's done showed them just what he is. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They had 12 baskets full left over. Fed 5,000 men besides women and children. That's not a story. That's an account of what happened. That's not a Bible story. You know, my Bible's got a lot of accounts, but there's not a Bible story in the bunch. Stories is like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That's a story. Jack and the Beanstalk is a story. You know, them are all stories. You know, the Three Little Pigs is a story. Right? But the Bible's accounts, and the account that he fed more than 15,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, that's an amazing thing. Huh? Does that amaze y'all? It amazes me. Now, it amazed me that it was 5,000 men, but it said plus women and children. So 5,000 men and 5,000 wives, that's 10,000. And I allow they had all more than one kid. So there's more than 15,000 people there with 2 little fish and 5 loaves of bread. Does that excite you any? Huh? That it just make him sit down. I feed him. Now, after he fed them, they carried off 12 baskets. I mean, do y'all believe the Bible that you read? Huh? Do you really believe the Bible that you read? That there was 12 baskets left over? Wait a minute, they didn't start with 12 baskets. They started with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread and had 12 baskets full after over 15,000 people eat till they was filled. I don't know about y'all, but I could probably eat several pieces of fish and several biscuits. Huh? Can y'all?
Yeah.
Huh? I know some of you can. All right. I'm just trying to show you All right, I'm not preaching about a little tiny God. I'm not preaching about a totem pole or a statue. I'm not preaching about something carved out of wood or marble. I'm talking about the God of glory this morning that sets his feet upon the earth as a footstool, that put on a robe of flesh to come to Calvary and die in my place and be buried and rose again and save my sinful soul, the wretch that I am, and give me eternal life. That's the one I'm speaking to you about this morning. That's him. It's him. So let's see what we can find and see if we can find anything about wonderful Jesus here. We okay? I'm not going to read it all one time, but I'm going to start at verse 22. Can we just read a little bit, preach a little bit, and then we'll let you go home. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. It says, and straightway, this is after the 5,000 men were fed and the women and children. And right after all that, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up unto a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So what I find in verses 22 and 23, I find Jesus just directing their path. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the boat, take the boat to the other side. I'm going over here to pray. And he's just directing their path. Do you understand this morning that there's a God in charge and he's directing your path this morning? To me, that's most wonderful. That I'm just not frailing in the dark.
God, amen.
Huh? That he didn't just leave me to myself. Where would you be if he just left it? I mean, you're so wise and intelligent. Just where would you be if he didn't fool with you?
Right.
If he didn't do nothing. I mean, first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get you some dirt to walk on. Because you're walking on his. All right, so go find you some. Huh? But you're going to have to find you some air because you're breathing his right now.
That's right.
But he's going to leave you to yourself. You're going to have to find your own. We still okay?
Yeah.
See, we don't think about none of that. And then, do you really have enough sense to do anything? How many really? Really? Look at our life. Look at our life this morning. Can anybody be honest with me and say, boy, I've made a mess of mine more than once? Can anybody be honest enough to, huh? See, ain't you glad he's one directing your path? Ain't you glad that there's one that kind of leads you along? And he told his disciples, he said, now here's what I want you to do. He said, now this fed you. Now you got a basket full of stuff. Now I want you to go over here, get in the boat. I want you to go over yonder to the other side. And I'll be there shortly. I'm going to go pray. That's what it says then. When he sent the multitude away, he sent the multitudes away, the disciples he told to get in the boat, and he went up the mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But look at verse 24 now. But the ship was now tossed in the midst of the sea, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So when I look at verse 24, then I see that the ship was tossed. Well, can we relate to any of this? And even in the path that he directs, anybody get shook up?
Yeah.
Anybody get tossed around?
Yes.
We all get tossed around, do we not? But can I remind you this morning that he's directing our path? Can I remind you this morning that though you may be tossed about, he is the one directing your path. We still okay? Though you be tossed about, he is directing your path. Now, did he know the storm was coming? He made it. He told him to get in a boat, out in the ocean, out in the sea there, where I'm going to make a storm here in a little bit, and you're going to be in the middle of it. I'm directing your path. You get out there in it. We okay? Now I want you to think about the storm that's in your life right now. Don't you blame it on the devil. Don't you blame it on the devil. The devil don't run my life. If you're a child of God, the devil don't run your life. If he sent a storm, he had to ask for permission to do it. Or he followed an order to do it. The Apostle Paul had a thorn that a messenger of Satan delivered unto him. But it was God sent. God paid the postage. We still okay? Now talk to me this morning. I want to help you a little bit. So let's look again. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. Huh? Now, we see the waves, don't we? Deep water. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not much of a boater. Now, I can handle a boat a little bit down here on the lake. But every time I get in the ocean, I get sick. I turn greener in them seats. Kermit the Frog ain't never been as green as my face turns. Huh? I just can't do it. I got on one of them big cruises and I put all them patches behind my ears and took all them pills and I done all right. But it had to be, because God added help. But them waves, churning and tossing, makes you queasy and makes you sick at your stomach. I just wonder, anybody here ever been in a circumstance where it made you sick at your stomach? Anybody here ever had a storm come through that made you so sick you couldn't handle it and you couldn't function? Huh? Remember when you couldn't function, Trista? We went on that cruise and you couldn't even function, huh? Because the storm was so bad. Huh? We okay? Everybody still listening? I'm just reading the scripture. That's all right, isn't it? Huh? Then we feel the wind. You don't see the wind, but it says for the wind was contrary. Well, I see the wind. I see the result. See, I don't see the wind, but I feel the results of the power of the wind and the force of the wind and how it's contrary to me. You know, a lot of times the things that's in my life, they're contrary to me. Now, all these jaybirds preach it, you ain't gonna have no trouble, you ain't gonna have no trial if you're living right with God and all this prosperity. Let me tell you, they be liars.
Amen.
Amen.
They be deceivers and they be liars. Because the Bible tells me that He directs my path and He puts me in the sea. When He puts me in the sea, there's a storm comes and I'm tossed with waves and the wind's contrary to me and it's in the path that He has directed. We still okay? Later on, one Sunday, we're going to preach about all your problems and why you have them. But right now, we're going to concentrate on the Lord. We okay? Everybody still okay? Let's look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night. Now, this will be from 3 to 6. From 3 in the morning till 6 in the morning. Okay? Anybody know anything about that fourth watch? Can I tell you, it's a good time to pray. A fourth watch is a good time to pray. All right? And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, verse 25. Now just hang with me now. Verse 25, you know what I see in verse 25? You ready? Wonderful Jesus. I find Him up in verses 15 through 21. But when I get down here in verse 22 and he directs my path, I see wonderful Jesus. But then when I see Him walking on the sea, Well, wait a minute. Is this not the same sea that's contrary? Is this not the same waves that's tossing me about? Is this not the same darkness and dreariness and potential hurt? And he's walking on top? Huh? You know why he's walking on top? Because of his authority. Wonderful Jesus. That's his authority this morning. It shows his power. It shows even his compassion. That he walks on the sea toward him. He cares. He puts you in something and he cares. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Think about that. He's big. He's big. I'm sinking in the sea. He's walking on top of it. I'm scared of the waves. He's making them. He's splashing them up on the boat. Huh? I'm scared of the wind. He's the one blowing it. Huh? Is it not true? Does the Bible say there's nothing made that's not made by him? Is that not what it says? When the storm comes, who do you think blows that wind? Who do you think blows that water? You say, well then how in the world does God love me? Because he comes to you while you're in it. For it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went, where'd he go? He went unto them, walking on the sea. Huh? Verse 26, can we look again? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Now wait a minute. Does that make sense? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were already troubled. Now they're troubled because he's walking on the sea. If you're able to walk on the sea, why am I in the mess? Do we not say that? If you're the God you're supposed to be, then why am I in the mess I'm in? We not ever say that? If you're so kind and loving and all power and show compassion, then why am I going through what I'm going through? Look what he does. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Huh? We see fear. The fear in us. Huh? Are you hearing me? The fear of the unknown. If we ever get afraid, we're afraid of the unknown. Yeah. Now think about what I'm saying now. We're afraid of the unknown. Right. See, if we get sick and we don't know how it's going to take place, we get scared. But if we know how it's going to turn out already, then we're not scared no more. Is that not true? If every trouble that comes and we already know the outcome, then there would never be no fear. But can I tell you, when our trust is in the Lord, perfect love casteth out all fear.
Right.
And the Lord does not give us the spirit of fear, but of a strong mind, the Bible says. The Lord don't give us this fear. The fear's in us. We still okay? It'll be time for another wonderful Jesus here in just a minute. Just hold on. We had a wonderful Jesus in verse 22. We had a wonderful Jesus in verse 25. Now, let's look at verse 27. Here we see a wonderful Jesus. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Now, everybody look this way. They're in a boat. It's storming. The waves are heavy. It's dark, they're scared, and he says, be happy. Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Be happy.
Yeah.
Be happy. How many want to hear that?
Yeah.
We don't want to hear that. But he says, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
Be of good cheer. Man, I'm having a storm in my life. Be of good cheer.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, everything's fell apart. Be of good cheer. Now, how does that? Because he's wonderful Jesus. You know why? Look at the next three words. Be of good cheer. Why? Them next three words is why we can be of good cheer. He said, it is I. Be of good cheer. It is I. I want you to know something this morning. We got a wonderful Jesus. And though the storm be dark, and though the waves be scary, and though we be tossed about, and though we be scared, he says, be of good cheer. It is I. That makes all the difference in the world. Huh? All the difference in the world. I've been in situations and certain people's come my way, and boy, I'm glad to see that one coming. Has it ever been like that with you? I mean, you broke down on the side of the road. Huh? There for years. I could tell you some stories. Years ago, I was in a car wreck. I'd have been a freshman or sophomore in high school. I was in a bad car wreck. And me and my sister, Cindy, and we sent her to a big tree. We went around the curve. She didn't make the curve. She made it straight. And we sent her to a big tree, brought the engine back through the dashboard of the car. I went through the windshield one way, halfway, and back through, and turned over and messed me all up in my chest and knocked her out. And I crawled out the window for help, to go get help. She was out cold. And I crawled out. And when I got on the road, the first people, now we're on Winona Road in 1976. All right? The River Gorge Bridge is not even open. All right? Who would be on Winona Road? If you ever been to Winona, who would even? Nobody goes to Winona on purpose unless it was to get drunk. That was it. The first people by was a paramedic and a rescue nurse from Ohio that had decided to go look and watch them build the New River Bridge. And that was the first people. When I got up on the, stood on the berm of the road, they pulled in and said, you need help, don't you? And it was a paramedic and a rescue nurse. Right in the middle of my storm.
Right, that's right.
Are you hearing me? Huh? Mooney and Cindy were in a wreck. Mooney went to sleep driving a little Volkswagen coming up Eddie Hill over in Fayette County. How do you go to sleep in a line of traffic going uphill? It's beyond me. But Mooney went to sleep in a wreck. The first person that walked up to the car was Papa. He was following him. Didn't have a clue, but it was my Papa. They were so happy to see Papa. Now you understand what I'm saying? See, the storms will come. And the dark places are going to come. And there's going to be things come your way that there's not going to be no answer for, and you're going to be scared. But he comes on the scene and says, be of good cheer. It is I. And the fear goes away. I'm here to tell you that the confidence that come in that boat after Jesus said, it is I, is amazing, because it was wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Not an angel, but wonderful Jesus. It is I. They ain't nothing no better than when it is I comes in. Huh? He's still who he said he was. Cheryl sung it this morning. His word's still true. He's still who he said he was. He's still him. Huh? Verse 27, wonderful Jesus. But straightway, Jesus speaking to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, they's all scared, right? And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come and thee on the water. Look at the confidence that come in that boat. We're scared we're going to perish. Okay, I'll walk on water. The storm is still there. He hadn't made the wind quit yet. The storm is still there, but the difference was wonderful Jesus. You going through it this morning? Some of you are.
Yeah, man.
Some of you are going through it. But wonderful Jesus is here.
Yeah.
Huh? And he don't make the storm go away before you get your confidence. Are you hearing me? Talk to me this morning. Your help comes, but the storm's still there. Peter's afraid. All the disciples were afraid. Huh? Is that what it says? It says they were troubled. Huh? They cried out for fear. When Jesus said, "It's I," then Peter said, "Well, let me come on to where you're at then." Wait a minute. If I'm in a storm, the one thing I don't want to do is get out of the boat. I don't want to bail out in the water. Are you hearing me? The water's going to be deep. But it don't matter when he says it's I. Are you getting it this morning? I just want to tell you how wonderful he is. See, he's giving you grace and he's giving you mercy and he's giving you salvation and he's loving you like nobody else can love you and he's giving you provisions like you can never imagine. And when the storms come, don't quit because the storm comes. Just rely on wonderful Jesus. Just praise wonderful Jesus. Just worship wonderful Jesus. Just serve wonderful Jesus because it's I.
Amen.
And it's going to be okay. Huh? We still all right? All right? Be happy. Be happy. Now let's look on. Verse 29. We'll read 28 and 29 again. But Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, y'all believe what you want to believe. I don't believe Jesus was up again the boat. I believe he's out there a good way because he couldn't tell who he was. And I don't know how far Peter walked, but he walked further than anybody else ever walked other than Jesus. Huh? And everybody can get him down the road and say he sunk and everything else, but I would have never got out of the boat. Huh? I might have not even gotten the boat to start with. Huh? See, sometimes we don't follow the way he leads. Sometimes we don't go the way he directs. Sometimes we just bow up in the back and say, "No, I ain't going to do it." We still okay? Verse 29 said he walked on the water. Huh? We see our desire. When I look at verse 29, I see a desire to be where he's at. Can I tell you, when he tells me not to be afraid, it is I in the storm, I just desire to be where he's at. The storm don't matter no more. Oh, I wish we could all get to where the storm didn't matter no more. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm trying to encourage you this morning. Huh? When the storm comes, it ought to get to where... So, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Huh? Because we all got storms. There's some of you this morning going through it. Huh? Some storms that we don't even know about. You won't tell. Huh? But I see wonderful Jesus. We still all right? Now let's look on. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Well, he was already afraid a while ago. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." See, a lot of times when we are coming through the storm, if we ain't careful, we'll think it's us coming through it. And we realize that we're not able. And we see our inability. When we see our inability, we cry on the Lord even more. Listen this morning. I don't know if we want magic or if we want hocus pocus or a snap of the finger. But all of this has happened and the storm's still there. The storm ain't changed. The wind ain't ceased yet. All of this is happening during the storm. We still okay? He's a wonderful Jesus. when it's storming. Now we'll all say he's a wonderful Jesus when the wind ceases. We'll all say he's a wonderful Jesus when he got out on the boat and say, "Peace be still." And they all say, "What manner of man is this?" We all say wonderful Jesus then. But can I tell you, when he said, "Be of good cheer, it is I." He's wonderful Jesus. And the storm still raging. Huh? It's not the perfect life. It's not the trouble-free life. It's not everything hunky-dory, everything falls in place. What makes it, it is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. It's I. It's I. We okay? See, it's about him. Are we still okay this morning? It's about him. It's about wonderful Jesus. Huh? So I see my inability. I see my failure. When I see Peter sinking down, I see my failure. I see my inability. Huh? I see my doom. How about that this morning? Huh? And I gotta call out, "Save me." Huh? All that we would just go ahead and call out, "Save me. Save me. Help me. Help me."
Yes.
And then look what he does. He stops the storm. No. He still ain't stopped the storm. Are you reading with me? He still ain't stopped the storm. But what's he do? Verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretches forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, then the storm ceases." But he was already in the ship before the storm ceased. Does everybody see that?
Yeah.
He don't make the storm go away all at once. The storms are necessary. The troubles are necessary. The valleys are necessary. Huh? The strokes, the heart attacks. You know they've helped me. They've helped me. They've strengthened my mind. Can I tell you this? One of the other strokes I had took my memory and another stroke brought it back. Now you explain that one. Huh? One of the strokes I had, I was foggy. I had to have another to get it cleared up. Does that make any sense to y'all? It don't mean either. Huh? Bub, you had a stroke, got you going, didn't you? Didn't you have another one? But you're here this morning. Yeah. You may have another one and everything be fine. Huh? You say that don't happen. Listen, I've had 2 heart attacks and 5 strokes. You tell me. You tell me. Is that not true? Is that not true? Think about that. It's helped me. Now, if I could go do it over again, I think I'd still take the stroke. Because it sure ate away some pride. It sure did. To know what God has brought me through, huh? To know the shape I'm in right now, physically. That's still got a problem. But I got to take a boatload of medicine every morning. I take 13 pills thereabouts, something of a morning to stay in this world. I don't know if that's wise or not. Huh? Something like that, 13 pills, some at night, some in the morning. Huh? You want to hang with me through the day? Huh? Right now, won't you run with me one day? We'll see who's had the stroke and who has the symptoms. Huh? I'm just telling you, God's been good is what I'm trying to tell you. Everybody okay? He got back in the boat and then the wind ceased. How about we just go ahead and say, wonderful Jesus. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Immediately. Caught him. O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Huh? He was in the ship, safe, and the storm ceased. Huh? Verse 33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. Well, let me ask you something this morning. Is that maybe the reason that we don't worship? Is because we're still afraid? After they seen what God done, then they worshipped. Why don't we just look at ourselves and see what God's done, and that'll bring some worship out of us this morning, and we'll say, wonderful Jesus. You know, I look here and see Paulie here this morning, and Paulie, you ain't supposed to be here. Nobody's liver just starts working again without a transplant. You was on the transplant list. Y'all remember, that's Paul McMahon over there. You remember he was on our list for a long time. I told you he was dying. You know, he went back to work. No, he was dying on a liver transplant. He was dying. Are y'all hearing me this morning? He was dying. He looked pretty good to me this morning. Huh? Pretty good shape, ain't you, Paulie? For what you was, I mean, ain't no comparison, but it's a whole lot better than deathbed, ain't it, buddy? Yeah. I just want you to understand, sometimes a storm has to come. See, it ain't just me. It ain't just your preacher. We still okay?
Yeah.
Huh? Verse 31 through 33, we see this wonderful Jesus. He stretched forth his hand. Now, I just want you to notice that Peter didn't have to put his hand in his. It don't say that. We always hear, boy, I tell you, I'm going down, I'm going to reach up and grab hold of him. Peter didn't grab hold of nobody. Jesus grabbed hold of him. Can I tell you, there's times I can't grab hold of nothing. But I got a wonderful Jesus that'll sure grab hold of me. Huh? Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. Then the Savior in love. Huh? You remember?
Yeah.
When the Savior in love reached down from above, when he reached down his hand for me. Can you sing it with me? When he reached down his hand for me, the Savior reached down his hand for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me. I just want to tell you about wonderful Jesus this morning. Ah, He's wonderful to me. He's wonderful every day. It don't have to be calm water for Him to be wonderful. Called he gets you back in the boat when the water's still troubled.
Right.
Huh? And if you don't know him this morning, let me introduce you to the best one you'll ever have. And that's Jesus this morning. Are you saved this morning? Let's go. Cheryl, go to piano. Are you saved this morning? Huh? Look at me this morning. Are you saved? I mean saved. Truly, Bible saved. Have you been born again? Have you repented of your sins and placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Place your faith in a substitutionary death of Jesus, huh? Have you? Have you? if you have this morning, are you living for Him? Are you worshiping Him? Huh? Are you in the storm? Be happy. Are you of good cheer this morning in the storm? You say, "Oh, preacher, it's hard." Yeah, it is. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer." I couldn't do it this morning if He didn't say it's I. If somebody just come by and said, "Oh, cheer up," what do I tell you? Cheer up, things will get worse. That's what I tell you. Huh? Nah. He said, "Cheer up, it is I. It is I, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus." Do you know Him this morning? Are you living for Him? Are you relying on Him? If you ain't, won't you come and do business with the Lord? Get around this altar this morning. Maybe you're a little weak, need a little bit of encouragement. He'll help you. Maybe you don't understand the storm. Well, He may not explain to you the storm. But He'll whisper, "It is I. It is I. I'm here. I'm here." We okay this morning? Wonderful Jesus. Father, I've tried just to lift up Your Son this morning. I've tried to explain how great and wonderful Y'all are. But ain't nobody no better than what Y'all are to me. I don't understand it. Can't even go to words to explain it. Don't deserve it. Oh, You're wonderful. And I remember when You reached down Your hand the first time. But Lord, I can sit and think about all the times that You've reached down Your hand. Oh, it's been more than once, over and over and over. You're on top of the storm, reaching down Your hand for me. Thank You, thank You, thank You for how good You are. Help me to worship You and praise You're so wonderful. Oh, You're pure and holy. Oh, You're good to me. In all that You give and in everything You are, oh, You're wonderful. Thank You, thank You. In Jesus' name, help us today, I pray. And amen.